I'm going to preach something tonight, Mike, maybe that seems unusual in a sense at a Thanksgiving time, but in preparing and thinking and going back over some things, I'm going to mention some scriptures, and I'm going to read just three verses from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'm going to preach tonight, try to, about the event of the ages. The event of the ages. When you find the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, let me just share one part of another verse found in Luke chapter 24. On the morning of Jesus' resurrection, the angel said to the women, "He is not here, for he is risen." I want to preach tonight on the event of the ages. I'm going to read from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with the 13th verse. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." The event of the ages. The resurrection of Jesus. I would like to begin by saying this tonight, and maybe keep this in your mind. When God created man, when God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, that was tremendous. When he created man on the sixth day, and man became a living soul, and the human race had its beginning, that was a great day. When God called Abraham and said, "I'm going to make of you a great nation, and you and your seed are going to bless all the nations of the world," that was a great covenant that God made. And as you go through the Bible with Moses and with so many others, then there came the time when there was the incarnation, when the Holy Ghost moved upon a virgin by the name of Mary, and Mary conceived and gave birth to a son. That's a miracle. That was a tremendous event. Nothing has ever happened like that before or since. Then Jesus came into this world and lived a sinless life. The only one that's ever done such a thing. Tremendous event. Then he died on the cross for the sins of the world. No one could ever do that except a sinless Savior. He was buried. But the greatest event of history is when he came forth from the tomb. If he'd have lived a sinless life, he'd been born of a virgin, if he was conceived of the Holy Ghost and all this other, and he died and was buried and he did not rise again, it would all be in vain. I'm glad tonight for the resurrection. And the Bible said, because he lives, we shall live also. We've got something to rejoice about and to praise God for tonight. Hallelujah. Many of our day, and let me come back to Bible study that we have mentioned from time to time. Jesus said in the last days, there will be false prophets. He said, if we are not careful, they will deceive the very elect. Those who love God, those who serve God, if you're not careful, there'll be so many things out there that will cause you to become confused, and you get your mind off of God, and you falter along the way and miss out. Jesus said, whatever you do, don't be deceived by any means. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And so tonight, it's important that we listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing the Scriptures. He said, the resurrection makes all the difference in the world. I believe it. All that I mentioned about the incarnation and the rest would have no benefit whatsoever if it had died and was buried and did not raise again. The truth is tonight that Christianity is founded on the Bible fact that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. We ought to rejoice in that. We are serving a living Savior. Mark this down tonight. We are the only religion in the world that is serving a living Savior. All other religions, their leader has died, made all kind of promises, but our leader died and was buried and he rose again. Amen. And he's made us a promise, because he lives, we're going to be called out of here and we're going to live forever. Thank God. The truth is, Christianity is founded on this very principle. Let me leave one verse of scripture with you and then I'll come to the sermon. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, a scripture that many of you have memorized, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember what I just read, or memorized, or just quoted from Romans 10 and 9. No one can be saved unless they believe that Jesus died and rose again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the foundation stone, the cornerstone of Christianity. If that is not real, if that is not true, we have nothing to stand on. We have nothing, no good news whatsoever. There's no salvation if that is not true. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that's true. He arose again. He lives. He lives in my heart and in my life. So I want to mention tonight this event of the ages. What does it really mean? And I want you, your minds, I want you to think about this, and I'll not be long tonight, but I want you to think about this. We are living in a day when so many that would like to, they refute the Bible and they like to make people believe that it was just written by men and it's not anointed by God and it's not the Word of God, and they found all kinds of faults with it and tried to think that maybe they've come up with some things that are not true. I want everyone to understand tonight this Bible is true. It will stand the test of the ages. And so I want to preach tonight, what does the resurrection mean? When there are so many of our generation that are false teachers and false doctrines that are out there telling us that Jesus is not deity, and that Jesus did not rise from the dead, and we've had this, we've talked about this in Bible study. Some people said that he was just in a coma, and when they put him in that tomb, in the coldness of the tomb, he revived and came forth. He pushed his way out of that tomb and made his way out. And so many other things that have come up that have been propagated through the time, through the ages. But I want you to understand tonight there is an importance of the resurrection. If we can understand the importance of the resurrection, we have something to stand on. Number one, Jesus arose from the dead, and the first thing is, it means that when he arose from the dead, he's exactly the person that he said he was. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Christ of glory. He claimed to be the promised Messiah. When they asked him the questions, he said, I am the Son of God. Hallelujah. And when he arose from the dead, that proves to me that he is who he said he was. That all men be liars, but he's not a liar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What God said of the Son, and what the Son said of himself. Let me leave an illustration with you. On the night that Jesus was crucified or betrayed, before he was crucified, on the night of his betrayal by Judas, one of his disciples, he had been brought before the governor, he had been brought before the high priest, he had been brought before King Herod, he had been brought before the Sanhedrin court, and one of the priests, the high priest, on the Sanhedrin court said, Are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ of glory? Are you the one that they say that you are? And Jesus answered, I am. Amen. He is who he said he was. He is who he says he is. You can take it to the bank tonight. What the Lord says is true. Amen. The meaning of the resurrection. We don't have to search. How many tonight have been hoodwinked and led astray by so many false doctrines that Jesus is not deity, that he's not the chosen Son of God, that he's not the Savior, and all kind of theories and all kind of faults that are out there. I want us to know tonight, the resurrection makes the difference. He is who he claimed to be, and I thank God for that. He said, I am, and when he said, I am, he went on to say, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He was saying, I am divinity, I am the Son of God, I am the living, the Son of the living God, I am what I said I am. And listen to this, while he's before the Sanhedrin, when he claimed to be the Christ, they said, that's blasphemy. And they were ready to put him to death. And they led him away and crucified him. He died because he said, I am on the Christ. He gave his very life on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. But the resurrection makes all the difference in the world. He came forth from the grave on the third day while hanging on the cross. They ridiculed and mocked and made fun. But I want you to know there's an empty tomb tonight that lets me to know that the tomb could not hold him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And because he lives, I shall live also. Brother, that's something to shout about. Amen. Amen. This is not all of life. When you get as old as some folks, and you begin to look around. I have done this recently. I look at the obituary page just to see if I know someone. Then I begin to look at the ages of the people. And I've come to find out that maybe in some days most of the people there are a whole lot younger than me. And that lets me know that if the Lord tarries, I don't have a whole lot of time. And I might as well share with you, if the Lord tarries, your time's going to be gone fast. It'll catch up with you. My wife just said this past week, my, Christmas is here already. Seemed like we just took the tree down. It comes around. But the resurrection makes the difference, and it proves to me that Jesus is exactly who we claim to be. Secondly, the resurrection shows the price for our salvation has been paid in full. Now, let me share something with you. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to the days of Moses. There came a time when God gave the law to Moses and said that people, because of sin, because of uncleanness and what have you, they'll bring an animal to the tabernacle, and the priest would kill the animal, and they would take the blood, and they'd go into the holy place, and they would sprinkle the blood, and God would forgive their sins. When he sees the blood, he would accept that as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And then once a year, the high priest would take the blood of the animal sacrifices and go into the holy place, and then into the holy of holies. And he'd take that blood and sprinkle it on the ark of the covenant and on the mercy seat, and he would be in there. And if God did not accept it, the priest would die. But if God accepted it, the priest would come out, and the people would gather down in the courtyard. And when the priest would come out of the holy of holies and out into the holy place and out into the courtyard, the people would see that the priest was alive, and they would shout the praises. God has answered prayer and forgiven our prayers and forgiven our sins for another year. And they would worship God because their sins had been covered. Listen, Jesus died, and he shed his blood, and he ascended into heaven, and he offered his blood at the very throne of God, and God accepted the sacrifice, and the price of our redemption has been paid in full, paid in full, paid in full. Nothing we can do to merit salvation is already paid for. Man, people want to know, what can I, how much does it cost? What do I have to do? How many prayers do I have to pray? How much money do I have to give? What do I have to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus lets me to know that the price of our redemption has been paid in full. There's nothing else owed. You remember that song we sing in the course book? I owe the debt I could not pay. How does the rest of it go? Maybe is that the way it starts? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. But Jesus loved me enough to pay my debt of sin. And because of that, tonight redemption has been paid for in full. Thank God, thank God. It proves to me tonight, when I look at that second part, that Jesus Christ, when he arose from the dead and he met the ladies, and Mary Magdalene went to worship him, and he said, don't touch me, Mary, I have not yet ascended to your father and my father, but go and tell the disciples that I'm alive, and from that moment until he appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he ascended into heaven, he offered his sacrifice of blood, and the Father accepted it, and the blood has paid the price for the sins of the world. And I'm glad tonight there's nothing else that needs to be paid. He paid it all. Thank God, thank God. Jesus paid it all. I told you the story of my dad. When we went home after being called to preach and leaving the service, And when I think about it, it just blesses my heart. And so if you don't get blessed, just allow me to be blessed. Is that all right? Amen. We came home after getting out of the service, and we had already, God had already spoken to us where He wanted us to preach. Go start a new church in a town that we had never been to in our lives. And so when I got out of the service, I had a house trailer, and the Air Force paid for it to be pulled to Sierra Vista. And my wife and I and our children, we came home. Our son, not our children at that time, Mike. We came home to have some time with our parents. And then we were going back to Arizona to preach, and not knowing what's going to happen, and never preached before, and never built a church or started a new church before, and didn't know what was going to happen. And I've told this so many times, and yet it blesses my heart. My daddy talked to me while we were home, and I talked to some others about the ministry. I'd never been to Bible school. And I went to get in the car. We had bought a 1958 Chevy when we came back from England in 1958, and now it's 1959. Daddy came to the car, and we were loading it up to go all the way to Arizona. Out of the service, didn't have a job, didn't have a church, didn't have any money except what we got from the service for 55 days of recruit leave. Daddy came and handed me something, piece of paper. He said, "Son, I've been to the bank to see Mr. Riggins. And I've told Mr. Riggins your story. And you're going out, you've never preached before, and you're going out to start a new church. You don't know what you're going to run into." And I didn't. He said, "But I've been to Mr. Riggins, and he signed this note. And whatever you need, you just let me know, son, and I will sign the note that Mr. Riggins has already approved. I will sign it and see to it that you have what you need." That's a good daddy. Whatever you need when you get out there. I believe God's called you to preach. I believe you're going where God wants you to go. But when you get out there, never knowing what, never having done such a thing in your life, if you need anything, you let me know. And I will get it for you, because Mr. Riggins has promised it. And I've told you this so many times, but I'll tell you one more time tonight. I never had to send that to my dad and say, "Daddy, I need $500 or I need $1,000. I never had to have him go to Mr. Riggins to the bank in Fox Hill, because my Heavenly Father said, "I'll take care of it all." Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washes white as snow. What a Savior. What a mighty God. The resurrection lets me to know that it's all paid in full. And thirdly, the resurrection lets me know that we are going to rise. Amen. When Jesus came out of that grave on that Sunday morning, on the third day, and when they went to the garden and the tomb was empty, and He's alive, He's alive, He's alive, hallelujah. And the angel said, "He is risen, He's risen, He's now here, He's risen indeed." I want you to know, because of that, the resurrection of Jesus lets me to know that I'm going to be changed. I'm going to rise. My mama and my dad are right out there in the cemetery at Park Lawn, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law are in Peninsula Cemetery in the grave. Their bodies are deteriorating in the grave, but there's coming a time when they're coming out. That's good to shout about on Thanksgiving week. That's good all the time. Because He's alive. He said, "Then you're going to live forever. You have eternal life." Because it said to me, I'm not looking, worrying about death. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank God. I mentioned about my brothers. One died at age 62. Another died at age 65. My mother died at age 69. Here I am, where I am. I don't understand maybe why some go and some don't. God allows some to live longer than others, and I leave that with God. But one thing that I do know, with all of us that go by the way of the grave, if we serve God, we're coming out of there. Amen. The trumpet of the Lord's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Brother, we're going to be changed. It's going to be a great day. The resurrection makes a difference. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. My wife and I, maybe some others, years ago, went to Liberty Baptist when they were still over there on Todd's Lane. We went to an Easter program. My cousin was a part of it, and I knew several of the people that attended the church. It was no ways, not near as large congregation as it is now. I don't remember a lot that went on. It was the life of Christ and the death of Christ. But when it was all at the last part, and they began to march down the aisle, the choir and so many and all those that were participating in the program, and they began to sing, and they were marching around about, and they were singing, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive." And as I was sitting there in that Baptist church, and I realized I knew. I don't know how many of them knew it, and I hope maybe every one of them did, and I'm not here as a judge, but they were singing, "He's alive, he's alive," and I want you to know, he's alive in my heart tonight. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And because he lives, because the grave could not hold him, the cemetery is not going to be able to hold my parents. They're coming out of there, amen. And your loved ones that died in the Christ, he's alive. The resurrection makes the difference. And finally tonight, the resurrection lets us to know that good is going to win out over evil. Now, it seems as if oftentimes that bad things or evil things or mean people have the upper hand. It seems maybe that as if they've got everything turned around. I was raised in a holiness home and went to school as the only in Fox Hill. Far as I know, and I don't know for sure, but far as I know, Al was the only family in the early grades in Fox Hill at isn't something the name of the school. Francis Asbury, a Methodist preacher. The school was named after him. And in the other grades, as far as I know, we were the only family that were holiness. We didn't go to some of the places everyone went. We didn't participate in some things. They had some things going on in the assembly hall. My dad and mom said, "That's not for us." And we believed what they said. And we might not have understood everything, but we were left out of some things. And then I've seen some that were living evil lives and wicked lives, and how it seems as if they were the ones that prospered, and they were the ones that got ahead, and those who served God were always put down. But I want you to know tonight, the resurrection lets me to know that good is going to win out over evil. Then mark that down. The righteous are going to win. You might have been put down. You might have been ridiculed. You might have been mocked, just like Jesus was on the day before he was crucified. They might have ridiculed you and said all manner of evil against you. The Bible says, but there's coming a day. The good is going to win out. Evil is going to be judged. And the saints of God are going to rejoice around the throne of glory forever and forever. Hallelujah. Brother, we've got something to look forward to. The resurrection makes the difference. The event of the ages. The resurrection. I'll just say this, and I'm going to close tonight. I'm going through these thoughts in my mind, even after coming to church tonight. I jotted some things down. I have mentioned the creation of the universe. I mentioned the creation of man. I mentioned various things of Abraham and Moses and so many things. I've mentioned the birth and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, having born of the Virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death, and was buried as a common criminal, calling him a blasphemer. But he arose. And I say this tonight, and maybe we can have some discussion. I've given it a lot of thought, so if you disagree, we can discuss it later.
The event of the ages is the resurrection of Jesus. And the next event is going to be the resurrection and the catching out of the saints of God.
Yes.
The rapture and the resurrection of the righteous dead.
Yes.
I intend to be in that number. I intend to be, if I'm alive, to be serving God and changed in a moment in color.
Yes.
And if I die before the rapture takes place, I intend to be ready when I die, the soul, and when I come to sound, I'm coming out of the grave. He's going to bring the departed spirits of the righteous dead with him. My body's going to come out of the grave if I die before the rapture. He's going to, I'm going to be united in my spirit. I'm going to have a holy body, and I'm going to go to the Lord. Wow, this is our best life in the world. And the resurrection makes the difference. Whatever you do, as we come to pray tonight, to give thanks to God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that I have a hope and you have a hope. We have a hope. Beyond anything this world has, there's going to be another day. Come on to the piano, honey.